Think about the last time you flew a regional commuter route. If you were lucky, it was a turboprop. Loud, fuel-hungry short-haul economics that have been squeezing operators for decades. The routes are thin, the fuel bills are constant, and the maintenance on a turbine engine doesn't get simpler with time. Now imagine pulling the combustion out entirely. Electric motors, silent crews, operating costs that analysts project could drop by 90% compared to a turbine-powered equivalent. That is the promise behind the Eviation Alice. And on September 27, 2022, at Grant County International Airport in Moses Lake, Washington, the Alice actually flew. I'm Vector on Clear Direct. This is Radio Hangar. Today, I want to look honestly at what that flight meant, what it didn't prove, and how far the engineering reality still sits from the airline service that major operators have already put real money on. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. Let's start with what the Alice is designed to do, because the mission profile matters enormously here. 9 passengers, 250 nautical miles of range at cruise, a cruise speed in the neighborhood of 220 knots, all electric, no turbine, no combustion. The aircraft sits in a market segment historically dominated by aircraft like the Cessna Caravan and the Pilatus PC-12. Short regional hops, coastal commuter routes, island connections. The kind of flying where an operator's margin lives and dies on fuel costs and maintenance cycles. And both have always been stubborn problems on small turboprops. For that specific mission, the economics of electric propulsion look genuinely compelling on paper. The routes are short enough that battery range isn't immediately disqualifying. The cycle frequency, many short legs per day, plays to electric motors' strengths compared to turbines, which prefer longer, steadier operating periods. And the maintenance profile of an electric powertrain is fundamentally different from a turbine. No oil changes, no hot section inspections, no fuel nozzle cleaning, no compressor washes. The maintenance hours compress dramatically. And that changes the operating economics in ways that go beyond just fuel. The company behind the Alice Eviation Aircraft started in Israel and relocated to the United States as it scaled. They have been iterating on this design for the better part of a decade, and the design has changed significantly along the way. The original Alice concept carried 3 electric motors, 2 mounted on the wingtips, 1 in the tail. That configuration was built around a concept called distributed electric propulsion. Wingtip-mounted propellers can reduce induced drag, the drag that comes from generating lift, by influencing the airflow at the tip vortex. It's an efficiency argument with real aerodynamic basis. Several research programs at NASA and in Europe have validated the principle. The problem is that 3 motors, 3 nacelles, 3 sets of wiring, inverters, motor controllers, and cooling systems is a lot of complexity. Eviation eventually redesigned the Alice around 2 wing-mounted motors, which simplified the powertrain considerably and reduced the points of failure in the system. The motor supplier for the Alice is Magnix, a company that has built a track record in electric aircraft propulsion over the past several years. Their motors have been flying on converted aircraft, most notably the de Havilland Beaver that Harbor Air in British Columbia has been operating and working toward commercial certification. The Magnix motor story is worth a brief detour because it illustrates something important about how electric aviation is actually developing. Magnix is not trying to build an airplane. They're building the powertrain, the motor, the inverter, the software that manages power delivery. They've essentially positioned themselves as the Pratt and Whitney of electric aviation, the company that provides the certified propulsion system that airframe manufacturers build around. That specialization allows them to develop certification data and reliability history on their motors across multiple aircraft types simultaneously. It's a smarter structure for scaling the technology than having every aircraft manufacturer try to develop their own motor from scratch. Here's what most people miss when they look at electric aviation from the outside. The motor is not the hard part. Electric motors are, from a pure engineering standpoint, remarkably capable machines, high efficiency, near the mid to high 90% range in the best designs. Very few moving parts compared to a turbine, high power density in a compact package, and a reliability record from industrial and automotive applications that dwarfs what any aviation-specific power plant has accumulated. If you told an engineer you had a propulsion system with efficiency numbers like an electric motor and the maintenance profile of an electric motor, they would find you almost immediately. The hard part is the battery. When we talk about range in electric aviation, we're really talking about a physics problem that doesn't have a clever engineering solution, only a slow materials science solution. The energy density of the best lithium-ion battery cells available today runs roughly 250 to 300 watt-hours per kilogram. Jet A fuel carries roughly 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That is not a typo. Conventional aviation fuel stores 40 to 50 times more energy per unit of weight than the best rechargeable battery chemistry we can build commercially today. Aviation, uniquely among transportation modes, is absolutely ruthless about weight. Every kilogram of battery you carry is a kilogram that isn't payload, and unlike a fuel tank that gets lighter as the flight progresses, the battery is just as heavy when you land as when you took off. What that means concretely is that the battery system giving the Alice 250 nautical miles of range at 9 passengers constitutes a very significant fraction of the aircraft's empty weight. Eviation has not published the precise breakdown publicly, but reports from development have indicated the battery system is the largest single-weight component. That's a fundamentally different design equation than a turboprop, where the engine is heavy but the fuel weight varies with range and you get structural credit for burning it off. This is not a reason electric aviation doesn't work. It's a reason it works on specific routes and struggles on others. The operators who placed orders for or letters of intent on the Alice understood this. They weren't thinking about transcontinental flights, they were thinking about the 40-minute island hop in the Pacific Northwest, the coastal commuter segment in New England. The thin regional route, where a caravan has always been the only viable option, and the economics have always been marginal. For that specific use case, the battery limitations are real but manageable. DHL placed an order for 92 Alice aircraft for cargo operations. I want to dwell on that for a moment because it's easy to scroll past a press release number. DHL is a logistics company. They do not make investments based on enthusiasm. They have analysts who model operating costs per route per aircraft type with a level of detail that would make most people's eyes cross. When DHL says they want 92 all-electric aircraft for cargo operations, they are saying that their models show those aircraft penciling out on the routes they intend to fly them. That is a meaningful signal about the economics of the technology and its intended application. Now, let's talk about the actual flight, because how we interpret it matters. On September 27, 2022, the Alice lifted off the runway at Moses Lake, flown by test pilot Steve Crane, and stayed airborne for approximately 8 minutes. It reached roughly 3,500 feet above the terrain, flew a circuit pattern, and landed. The aircraft handled predictably, the motors performed. The flight controls were responsive. 8 minutes. If you're expecting a cross-country demonstration, 8 minutes is disappointing. But here's the engineering frame for that flight. First flights are not range demonstrations. They are proof that the basic design is flyable, that the aerodynamics work, that the aircraft is stable, that the motors produce the expected thrust without vibration anomalies, that the flight control system responds correctly at low speed and in ground effect during the transition to flight. The Wright Flyer flew for 12 seconds on its first attempt. The Concorde flew its initial sortie with the landing gear down. First flights are data collection missions. What the Alice's first flight proved is that the fundamental design is sound enough to continue. What it didn't prove is that the aircraft can do what the order book requires. That work is the long road of flight test, and it's still underway. Let me be honest about the challenges, because the coverage of electric aviation tends toward two failure modes. There's the hype cycle, where every first flight is presented as imminent commercial service, and there's the dismissal, where every delay confirms the technology is vaporware. Neither serves you as a pilot trying to understand where this actually stands. Eviation has faced real turbulence as a company. Funding rounds, management changes, the kind of organizational stress that early-stage aerospace companies almost always experience when development timelines extend beyond original projections. The global supply chain environment of the early and mid-2020s was not kind to companies trying to certify novel aircraft types. Battery technology is improving, but improving slowly, and slowly matters in aviation because certification timelines are measured in years. The Federal Aviation Administration certification path for a new aircraft type using novel propulsion is not a short road. The FAA has been actively developing the regulatory framework for electric propulsion, publishing special conditions that address battery thermal management, battery management system reliability, what happens during a battery thermal event in flight, and how the type rating and systems knowledge requirements for pilots need to change. But the regulatory framework is being written at the same time the aircraft are being developed. That's inherently slower than certifying a derivative of an existing type where the regulatory precedent is already established. Consider what certification covers that a first flight doesn't: structural testing that takes the airframe to ultimate load conditions in a test fixture, flutter testing that expands the envelope methodically to ensure the airframe is stable at all certified speeds and altitudes, systems reliability demonstration that requires a specific number of flight hours with a failure rate below a defined threshold, battery thermal testing under worst-case conditions, full charge, elevated ambient temperature, maximum power draw, emergency descent profiles. If a battery thermal event begins in cruise, all of this requires time, test aircraft, instrumentation, and money. The pilots who will fly the Alice in commercial service, when it gets there, will manage a different kind of systems knowledge than turboprop pilots have today. There's no fuel state in the traditional sense. There's a state of charge and a battery thermal state. There are charging considerations that structure the turnaround time at the destination airport. For a short-haul commuter operation with tight turn times, an aircraft that requires 45 minutes minimum for a meaningful charge between legs reorganizes the entire flight schedule around the charger rather than the passenger connection. That's not necessarily fatal to the business model. Airlines already structure operations around fuel stops, maintenance windows, and crew rest requirements. But it's a different set of constraints, and the airport infrastructure to support it at the regional level is nowhere near ready. Most of the airports that serve the routes the Alice was designed to fly do not have high-powered charging infrastructure today. The capital project required to install it, coordinate the grid connections, and get utility agreements in place is a parallel effort that has to happen alongside the aircraft certification, not after it. The competitive landscape in this space is worth a quick look. Heart Aerospace, a Swedish company, has been developing the ES-30, a 30-passenger regional aircraft using a hybrid electric architecture. They've drawn investment from carriers including Air Canada and United Airlines. Their timeline has also experienced the kind of schedule stretch that has become characteristic of the electric aviation sector. Ampere has taken a different path, working on hybrid electric conversions of existing certified airframes, specifically the Cessna 337. By grafting a hybrid powertrain onto an existing certificated design, they reduce the certification risk considerably, though the efficiency gains are smaller than a clean-sheet electric design could achieve. It's the conservative play, and it gets hardware flying sooner. The broader story of the electric commuter market is that the technology is real. The physics are constrained but not prohibitive for the right missions, and the timelines are consistently longer than announced. That's not cynicism. It's the nature of aerospace development in every era. The electrification of regional aviation is happening. The Eviation Alice is a real aircraft that flew on a real runway. The engineering problems remaining are specific and understood, not mysterious. The question is time, capital, and the incremental improvement of battery energy density that makes the range and payload numbers more flexible. The operators who have committed to this technology are not naive. They see the same physics the skeptics see. They're making a calculated bet that the timeline, however it stretches, eventually delivers an operating cost structure that the turboprop world cannot match. That is a more interesting story than either the press release or the dismissal would have you believe. My sources today include Aviation Week and Space Technology, Jane's All the World's Aircraft, the FAA's published Special Conditions for Electric Propulsion Aircraft Certification, and Eviation's published Technical Documentation. More analysis and past segments at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Keep asking how it works.